Where are we going to be this morning? Genesis chapter 5. In the beginning. We'll be in Genesis chapter 5 this morning. And I'll do my best to give you what I can give you out of this. So I'll start with reading. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of the hands of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I know that this stuff is very confusing in genealogy. There is a point to it. But it should create a thinking process in you to hear what this is all about. Okay? Why did God put these names and numbers down on his pages for us? Okay? Not just so he could say there was somebody born and lived so long. There's a little bit more to it than that. We'll go back to the first and start over again. This is the book of the generations of who? Of Adam, right? This is all about his generations, not about anybody else, just his generations. Now look, in the day that God created man, we got a statement problem here. Okay? I know there's more than one. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now let's break this thing down and see something. It says that this is the book of the generations of Adam. Okay? In the day that God... Now the word God here, do you know what this word is? It's Elohim. Not talking about God the Father. Telling you clearly, this is the second witness, that Elohim created Adam Not created, because the word created he means here is wrong. He formed him, like in Genesis 2, he formed him out of the dust of the earth. Okay? 2:7. They were formed, and here in the day that Elohim formed Adam in the likeness of Elohim. Okay? The Son. They made him in the form of the Son, Elohim, right? The multiplicity of God, right? Made he him, and it's wrong in this, the way the pronoun's used here. That's the way they made him. In the likeness of Elohim, they made him. They. Elohim is a plurality. How can you use a plural word and use it singular all the time like one person? You see what I'm saying? It makes it point back to God the Father, which is not pointing there. The language is pointing, this message is going to the Elohim, not Yahweh. Elohim made Adam in the image of Elohim. Correct? And it says here, it goes on to tell you what the image of Elohim is. What is the image of Elohim? Male and female. Now, we're not talking about the physical attributes of a man and a woman. If we look at that, we're missing the whole point of what God's saying. God's trying to tell you that it takes a female and a male to create. And the book has called us creators, correct? Okay, so to create, we have to have a male and a female. And we're not talking about the male and female anatomies. We're talking about the regenerative part inside of us. We have a woman, our soul. We have the man, Christ. Correct? Just like the two trees, the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We have both attributes within us. And it takes both attributes, positive and negative, to create. Does that make sense to you? Okay? So he said, male and female, they performed them. They formed them male and female. Okay? And blessed them and called their name Adam. So when Adam and Eve was created, they were actually two, but they were what? They were one. And until in Genesis 2 and 20 and 21, when God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a rib, according to the King James language, which we know is a side chamber, or the womb, or the female part out of man, separated them. Okay? And then he brought him back to him to put them back together. And it says, and called their name Adam, they were formed as one, in the day when they were formed. So in the day they were formed, they were actually one. What is God? God says many times, I am one. So he showed that he had the attributes of male and female. Now the first time I ever spoke anything about God being male and female, someone piped up in this Bible study and said, what is God, a morphodite? I said, see, your mind is thinking in the carnal realms of some sexual thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the creative, regenerative powers of God, and it takes both attributes, the male and the female, to produce in spiritual things. So we have to realize that this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. And inside of me, to create the Son of God in me, I must have a male and female. Does that make sense to you? I have to have the Christ in here, and I have to have my woman, the soul, my Eve. And now it tells about the things of Adam. It says, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Who was Seth to Adam? Which son? How about the first two sons? They're not even mentioned in his generation. Imagine that. Why wouldn't his first two sons be mentioned? You got it. Did you hear that? She said because of the first two realms are really insignificant trial periods, and the third realm is what it's all about. Seth was the dedicated one, the one who came along and did what he was supposed to do. He was the word actually... For Seth means substituted or compensation. He was the one that compensated for the lack of the others. Cain and Abel. See, they're not even mentioned, are they? How could you anybody say this is correct genealogy and didn't even mention his first two sons, which were mentioned back in the last in the third chapter? You see what I'm saying? This should create thinking in you and understand, why did God change this genealogy? Why did he have it written down this way? Why did he leave somebody out? Why do you put someone else in there? Now, let me ask you another question. It said some of these people lived 100 and some years, and then they begat children. In your mind, what does that mean? They lived 130 years, and he begat sons and daughters. What does that mean to you? First of all, most people think in their mind, and I'm saying because of what people told me and asked questions, is they think, well, for the first 130 years, he didn't have any children. It doesn't say that. He says after 130 years, what did he say here? Adam lived 130 years and begat a son his own likeness. It didn't say he didn't create any other before that, did it? They were other the other realms, but he finally brought forth the son that needed to be brought forth. But it's saying through all these men here being mentioned, it said they begat sons and daughters. Doesn't tell how many sons and daughters, does it? So people ask the question, where did Cain get his wife? How many daughters do you think Adam had? Who knows? Who knows? Nobody knows how many, do they? And just like some people say, well, the first twins mentioned in the Bible were Esau and Jacob. That doesn't mean that was the first ones, does it? Who knows? Everything is not written down here, and you got to let your mind work a little bit and realize you can't live within the confines of the words of this book and say, that's all there is. This book has got holes in it intentionally. And I'm not saying it's bad. God left things in here that's just not written down, and you're supposed to use your mind and think about it. If he said, I had five sons and only mentioned four, then where's the other one? You know, that's intended to make you think. It's intended to provoke you into thinking when he leaves blanks in here. It's not left because God forgot something. God knows it all. He just left blanks in here to provoke us into thinking, why did he do it? And what did it change? What's the purpose?
Or it could have been written in two different times in history.
Could have been.
Like the creation, there's two different accounts of creation together. And also like Adam, the day that he died, he lived 800 years.
Because it was a spiritual thing. He said he would die. He didn't mean what he did. He lost his connection with God in his mind when he ate that fruit. Okay? That wasn't a physical death. We all know he lived another 120 years after the next chapter we get into that. Okay? But anyway, he lived 130 years, begat a son in his likeness, his image, and called his name Seth, which means substituted or compensation. He was the one to compensate for the lack of the others. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, in 800 years, you could begat a lot of sons and daughters. See, all this genealogy is not written down. It's here for an outline, for a purpose, not to tell you everything that was done. And the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Why did people live so long in that time? So that they could form and create more human life on this earth. God wants so many people on this earth, they're going to be here whether we like it or not. God didn't ask us how many we wanted on here. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. It didn't say he didn't have any other children, did it? It just said he was 105 when he begat Enos. Is that correct? And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, what does the word Enos mean? Well, it literally means a little farther than that. It means mortal man. He was a mortal man, natural man. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. What's the word Canaan mean? Possessed, possession, fixed, set up. There's a lot of things you can say. Those words all come out of the meanings of that word. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, which is the praise of God. Mahalalel means the praise of God. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Jared means descendant or descent, going down or descendant. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. What does Enoch mean? Dedicated, initiated. Strong says initiated. The Brown Driver and Briggs says dedicated. But there's a root word in Enoch that caught my attention. Because I like to go look at all the root words coming out of something to see what, because a lot of times you'll find little nuggets hidden here and there. And the word, the root word of Enoch comes up with this definition: discipline or train. Enoch was someone who was disciplined or trained. That's the root of this word. And I believe it has a import into this message here, that he was someone who was disciplined, to be disciplined and trained. That's why I'm saying that, because there was something more to it than just he was dedicated, you know. Sure, he was dedicated, but he was disciplined and trained. And that's something we cannot forget in our life. People can go to church all they want to go to church. They can go on and knock all the doors they want, hand out all the tracts they want. They can stay on their knees and pray 24 hours a day if they want. But that really does not change you. The only thing that will change you is a discipline in your life to the Word of God. And I can go back to Jesus' word and corroborate the statement I just made. The word is the only thing that will change you. Peter also said that we're born again by the word of God, which is an incorruptible seed. And Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, you'll be my disciples or my disciplined ones, and you shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. The only way you're going to get free is know the truth of God. Does that make sense to you? That's what Jesus said, that we need to know the discipline of His Word before we're ever going to come to maturity. Okay? Okay. And Jared, verse 19, lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, I can see something in Enoch because he was a disciplined one. I've got to start looking closer to his life, okay? And he lived 65 years. And what does 6 and 5 represent to you? I can see 6 is man and 5 is grace. He had the grace of God's grace was upon this man. He was dedicated. He was initiated. He was disciplined and trained, okay? And he begat Methuselah. Now, Methuselah means this. The BDB says he's a man of the dart. Does anybody realize what a dart is? It's like a spear, okay? It's a dart or a spear. But there's also another meaning of this word, which is a man of the branch. That gives me a whole lot more understanding of this man. He's a man of the branch. Didn't Jesus say he was the branch? Didn't he say, "You are the I'm the vine and you are the branches"? This is a man that's connected. And see, branches are connected to something, aren't they? To the tree of life. And he said here that he is a man of the branch. Okay? He came from Enoch. That's telling me Enoch is a direct descendant in that line, doesn't it? With God. He walked with God, true. He's got a hookup with God. And the next verse even says it and says, Enoch walked with Elohim. Elohim. After he begat Methuselah 300 years. So he said, after he begat Methuselah 65 years, he walked with God how many more years? 365 years. Or 300 years. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And I can see something in all that. All three realms are coming to the third realm, the maturity of man with the grace of God. Okay? So Enoch was the one that was starting to turn things around. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Not a good choice of words. Enoch walked with God, and he just disappeared. You know what? It wasn't like Enoch was walking down the road with God, and all of a sudden he wasn't there anymore. But that's what they teach. God took him away and hid him someplace. That's not what he said. That's not what God is teaching. Everything in this book teaches us to do one thing. And one is the key word. I give you the hint right there. We are to become one with God. Enoch was not taken away someplace. Enoch became one back with his father. He was walking so closely with him that he became one with him. He walked with him 300 years. Now, if you're walking in the presence of God 300 years, don't you think it's about time to come back to God? Hello? And how many years was it? Not two, not one, not six, but three. He walked in the fullness and maturity of the full, all three realms. And he come back to tabernacles with God. He become one with the Father. He wasn't translated into some ethereal heaven up there somewhere, hiding, waiting on a puffy cloud till a rapture happens. This is a man who was caught up into God, right there become one with him again. Okay? So he literally disappeared to the natural eye, to the natural mind. He disappeared. But to the spiritual eye, he just became one with his Father. And becoming one with Father doesn't mean that you have come into some big spiritual blob and you no longer have an identity. Why would God create us as individuals and then make us have no identity? Does it make sense? Doesn't make any sense, does it? He created us with special identities as all part of the big identity. Where am I at now? Okay. And Enoch walked with God and he disappeared, or he went back to be with God. He went in with oneness because Elohim took him. He became one. He became a mature son. And how many sons are there? One. Many-membered body, corporate Christ, but one Christ. Yeah. I don't remember now. And become one. Sure. Yep. I can't remember what I looked at it, but I did. Okay. And you're right, they became one. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Lamech means what? Powerful. So Methuselah lived 187 years and begat the power. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. Now, Methuselah, everybody knows Methuselah was the oldest recorded human being, right? Okay. That's the saying, you're older than Methuselah, you know. So, anyway, Lamech, his son, lived 182 years and begat a son. Didn't say he didn't begat anybody before or after. I just said he's 182, he begat this specific son, see, that he was looking for. And he called his name Noah. Now, it took a man 182 years to bring forth the son that he was looking for. It's the same pattern with God. It took God thousands of years to bring forth the message that he wanted to bring forth in a certain son called Jesus. Correct? Could he have done it sooner? Could if he wanted to. But he had a purpose and a plan, and his purpose and plan will prevail. He won't change. Okay? He's going to be standing straight right on this thing. The book says many times, his plans and purposes will prevail. Okay? So that's what it's going to do. What does Noah's name mean? Rest. He finally brought about somebody that could rest. Noah was a type of Christ. Okay? Now, why was Noah a type of Christ? Because he brought rest. What's the New Testament say? Labor to enter into his rest. Come to the heavenlies. Be seated in heavenly places in Christ like we're supposed to be already. Correct? So if we come to this rest, what do we struggle in anymore? What do we have to struggle in? Should be no struggle. Because it's whatever he wants, that's what it's going to be. Okay? Well, rest is you're not struggling with life anymore. Let me define it the best way I can. I've come to rest in my life. That means doesn't mean I become a couch potato and lay around and do nothing. It's just that I am not struggling with the cares of the world. I'm not worried about what happens in elections or wars or earthquakes or hurricanes. I'm not concerned. If someone dies, you know, people die every day, every minute of the day. There's someone dying. That is part of life. Living and dying is still part of life. So, am I saddened when people die? Yes. But will it take me from my course where I can't perform what I need to perform in my daily duties? No. It will not. And that's where we have to come. Jesus saw people die daily in his walk. I am sure he saw people die constantly. And he never lost his focus on his course. Father sent him to do something, and that he was going to do.
Are you saying the word rest is oblivious?
No. No, I'm not saying oblivious. I'm very aware of what's going around me, but it doesn't affect me to take me from the course that I am set to do. I have a peace about it. Father's in control. When people die here, I don't see a bad thing. When people die, the people who died are not the hurting people. The people that are left behind are the people that's hurting. It's like when people are dying, people don't want them to die, but it's the greatest thing in the world for the person that's sick and hurting and dying of cancer or some dreaded disease.
That's sort of like going into the rapture.
Well, could be, yeah. Could be said that way, but it's not really a rapture, but if they realize they're going back to the Father. Well, it could be meant that way. I'm not meaning it that way. But when you realize that someone passing away, they're going back to the Father. Ecclesiastes 12. When we die, the dust returns to the earth where it came. Spirit returns to God who gave it. See? It's not a bad thing. I'm going back where I want to be. And everybody says they want to be with God, true or false. They all want to be with God, but nobody wants to die to get there. Excuse me. Yeah. Their thinking is contradicting each other. They're two thinking processes. But what I'm saying here is we have to come to a place where nothing affects you. I'm not saying you don't realize it. You don't see pain. You don't feel pain. You don't see grief or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I see it, but it does not change the fact that I have a goal to accomplish, and I'm going to accomplish it. It's not going to take me off my course because someone dies. It's not going to take me off course because someone gets sick. I have lost my family members. It does not take me off my course. I must stay the course. It has to be upon him and follow him the way he wants it done. And that's what Noah was. Now, Noah did something else. Noah built an ark. He's famous for that, isn't he? Well, what do you think this ark was? You think that big wooden boat that they talked about is really what this thing is about? The ark represents the presence of God. And when we come into the presence of God, the same flood that took this earth and wiped everything out on it saved those eight people. In Peter, it says the same thing. Eight souls were saved by the flood. The same flood that wiped out the rest of humanity. Why? Because they were in the ark. They were in the presence of God. And that's what it's representative of Christ. If we're in the presence of God, do you know the flood of this word cannot hurt you? But to the rest of the people, it's going to be a life-taking situation. Either you get in the ark or you're going to be lost in the flood. And I'm not talking about some eternal hell, but I'm saying we have to be lifted up to the heavenlies. We're not leaving the earth in some rapture. We're being lifted up in the presence of God. Sure it is. Absolutely. But he said, this man he talked about and said, this same shall comfort us concerning our deeds and our labors of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh has cursed. Now this word Yahweh here, this is not Elohim. God cursed the ground because of what Adam did. It wasn't Elohim, it was Yahweh. Okay? And he said, this man will comfort us. And just like Noah came to comfort them, like he said, he was a shadow and a type, a forerunner of the Christ, who came to do what? To give us rest from our labor and our toil. Correct? Jesus, when he died on the cross, gave us what? He gave us a place of rest. He said the veil was torn down. You could enter the Holy of Holies now. See, we had to labor to do everything. Now we don't have to labor. We can enter into His rest. And when I say enter into His rest, is trusting God in what He says. It's not about sitting down doing nothing. That's not the kind of rest I'm talking about. I'm talking about resting in the truth of God. How did Abraham become a Jew? He believed God. Do you think you're any different from Abraham? Abram, when he started? That you got to learn to trust God. And when you trust God, he trusts God so explicitly that he was willing to take his son, carry him, walk with him up to the top of a mountain, Mount Moriah, coincidence, right? And lay him on an altar and raise a knife to stick it through his chest or to slit his throat. How many of you could do it? He did more than most people could do to go that far. But see, God told him something down below, and if you read it closely, he said, I and my son will go and sacrifice, and we will return. And God already told him he's bringing him back with him.
I believe any person
would. Well, it was a chosen seed. I don't think anybody could. He was a chosen vessel that God had chose to walk this thing out. And I don't think anybody else, if God chose you, you can do it. If God chooses you to do something, you can do it. I don't think what I do... No, it's not inferring that. That some people might think that, but it's not. It's just God has got a purpose for each person to do. I couldn't do what I'm doing if God didn't choose me to do it. Because what I do is not a popular thing. I just got to do what I got to do, and it doesn't make any difference what people like or dislike, because this is not a popularity contest. If it was, Jesus was a total failure, because he surely didn't have very many following him. And today people have perverted this thing about Jesus and went so far that they worship him. And he never requested worship. He always said, do not worship me. Worship the Father. Is that correct?
That is correct.
See, everybody wants to worship Jesus, the man. Not the man. The Christ in him is the Spirit. That's what we will worship. Not the man. And just like then, they wouldn't use him then, but now they've made an idol out of him and use him to worship now, but they wouldn't when he was here. Only the Father. See, it's only about the Father. And that's the same thing that sons do. It's not about being famous, getting on TV, and printing more books or selling more tapes. It's not about that. It's about, first of all, you as an individual coming to maturity. That's all this book is about. Showing you everyone that had to walk through all the hard things they walked through to bring you to maturity so you can do and keep your focus upon Him. If you can't do that, how can we save the world? If I can't take care of my own backyard, how can I take care of the whole world? Is it possible? Now, He didn't call me to do that anyway, but I'm saying, first of all, I've got to take care of my own backyard, true or false. I've got to be able to take care of me. If I can't get myself straight, how can I walk around being a mess in my life and tell you, straighten up, Keith, straighten up, Bob? How could I do that? I would be a hypocrite extraordinaire, wouldn't I? To tell you to do something I couldn't do. That's why Jesus came and walked it out in the flesh so that you could see that a man can live this life and do it. Didn't say easy, but you can do it. You can do it. He encouraged you. That's all he ever did was encourage. You can do it. You can do it. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling you the truth, and I know what I'm saying is hard, but I know you can do it. Because my big brother's already done it. Your big brother's already done it. We can walk this thing out. We don't have to keep looking God's way up there and we're down here. God's inside of us. Is He not? Okay? Let's go. We've got a few more verses here to do. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. 777. Perfection of God. That's all it is. He was the man that was chosen, wasn't he? 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem and Ham and Japheth. Do you really think this man lived 500 years and only begat three sons? It just didn't tell the rest of them. That was the three that God chose, the representative of those three realms. Okay? That's all it is. Again, it goes back to those three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Do you know what Shem means? Honor. It means name. It's honor, authority, character, or being renowned. Okay? Ham, hot, heat, or brown. And Japheth, opened or expansion. That's what those three names mean. Shem means honor. The word Shem actually means name. It's the same as when it says Shem here, it's shame in the Hebrew, S-H-A-M-E. And it means honor, authority, and character, or renown. Someone's very famous. Ham means hot, heat, or brown. And Japheth means opened or expansion. Okay? And they were all three sons of Noah, representing the three realms. Which one do you think is which here? That's your beginning, realm one. That's Pentecostal, isn't it? Opened and expansion is when your eyes are opened and you see the truth of God to the fullness of everything, the expansion of the whole world. Yep. I know this chapter in the genealogy is very dry to a lot of people, and they struggle with these things. And what I tell you this is when you get to a place where you have a struggle with a piece of Scripture, the best thing to do is not ignore it. Don't throw it away. Read it, meditate it on a while. If nothing comes, just let it lay. And I'm not saying putting it on a shelf and forget that passage of Scripture. In your mind, don't fight it. Go on, because a lot of times you'll go just beyond this thing, and while you're still walking it out, something will fly back into your mind that'll open that up. See, don't get caught on it, because if you get caught on it, you're done. If you make an issue in your mind, you can't go anywhere else. That's all you can think about, that one thing, and you're not ready yet. You take a couple more steps, and you'll be surprised when you look back what you might see. New beginnings. In another generation. Yep.
One thing that's sort of amazing here to me is that Enoch never died.
Well,
it didn't say that.
Well,